Come on, man. We need the work. Let's go. Let's go.
Got to the field. He's got through. 35, 30.
Rogan intercepted.
Touchdown, Giants.
Welcome in, Big Blue Kickoff Live, Anita Marks, Paul DeTino, and of course, you on this Tuesday afternoon. Paul, how you doing? You and I haven't, we haven't hosted a show together, and I don't know, man, it feels like an eternity.
It does feel like that, but the good news is things continue to move on. Weather pretty good here today. A little chilly, but not too bad. I saw your pups were bundled up and ready to go. Listening to the show. Hey, Sookie! How are you?
Yeah, that was my tweet. Which, by the way, you can tweet us as well, and that is hashtag Giants Chat. As always, I'll be monitoring Twitter throughout the show, and also call in at any point 201-939-4513. However, Paul DeTino, not only does he play a host here with the Giants broadcast team, but he also plays producer, and you've booked two guests for us for this afternoon. Would you like to tell our listeners, our watchers, our viewers out there, who's going to be joining us today?
We're talking defensive line, okay? So Stephen Jones from the Louisville Courier is going to be talking about Rankins, and Ogba from Oklahoma State. We will talk to Alan Jerkins, a sports anchor in Oklahoma, who actually has New York ties. He had been a New Yorker for a number of years before he moved out there. And he's very anxious to talk about him. So two guys who have a lot of ink about them. Rankins is apparently, a lot of people think he's a top 10 pick, one of the best defensive tackles in the draft. And Ogba is a guy who has shot up the charts like a rocket ship over the last couple of weeks. Originally, some people thought he'd be a two. Now he's thinking high two, maybe even into the first round. A dynamic pass rusher off the edge who has had some incredible workouts. Speed, length, interesting player for those people looking for a pass rush. So we're going to talk defensive line today, Anita, and I think that's pretty cool. And then the other thing we have to talk about today is that the NFL's official draft order was released about a half hour or so ago. The Giants have six picks in the draft, which begins on April 28th, of course, in Chicago. And their seventh pick was traded last year to Pittsburgh for punter Brad Wing. So the Giants will only have six picks in the draft this season. Their second rounder, for those of you who haven't been keeping track, will be the 40th pick overall. So the Giants are 10 and 40, and then they go on third round, fourth round, and so forth and so on. So that's pretty cool stuff.
Okay, fantastic. Let's talk about defensive line for a second. Dan Graziano, who of course covers the Giants for ESPN.com, had an interesting article out. I want to say a little bit earlier, maybe late last week, in regard to who's going to play that, who's going to come off that right side edge,
right,
of the line. Now, obviously, that's been the place that JPP has occupied, and for good reason. But now with Vernon here, do you think that is his spot, or do you think they're going to be interchangeable?
I think based on what Spags has done in the past, he will flop guys on occasion. It's not something that he's going to be married to. You're left and you're right. I do think part of this is going to be how JPP adapts to whatever new glove he winds up wearing on his hand. Remember now, Anita, he's told everybody he's not going to wear a club anymore. He's going to wear some type of glove. And I do think that may have an impact on where they put him. But here's the bottom line. You know, they still need three rotating defensive end pass rushers. Now, whether Odighizuwa or Wynn or one of these other guys maybe that they wind up drafting becomes that third guy in the mix, they're going to need a third defensive end in Spags' rotation. That's the way he likes to run it, when you can. Problem is, if you don't have the bodies to do it, that's another story.
And defensively, I mean, so much has been made with, you know, again, you and I, this is the first time that we've really had a chance to sit and talk about all the moves that the Giants have made in free agency and the amount of money that they spent. And obviously, a lot of money with snacks.
How many millions did they give you?
In Vernon. Oh, we won't get into that. but in all seriousness, I mean, I don't think enough has been talked about in regard to 00 and Kerry Wynn. And what are the expectations? I think they've kind of fallen by the wayside, right, because of all the money and the big names and the exciting players that the Giants went out and have brought in. I don't think enough is being talked about with those two guys.
00 is a guy who, because of his redshirt year as an injured player last season, and that's the only way I can describe it because he barely got on the field, Anita, how much can you expect from him? He's basically a rookie all over again. Remember, being hurt, he wasn't even able to practice most of the season.
Yeah, but he knows the system. Keep that in mind.
That's good.
That's important. That's half the battle. Not having to think so much as to react and let your athleticism kind of shine through.
So maybe he's half a rookie instead of a full rookie.
Yeah.
But nonetheless, I think it's unfair to automatically expect him to be that 10-sack, you know, third pass rusher in the mix. Because your third guy, you'd like your third guy to have at least 8 sacks if he can. You know, you want the first two guys, if they can, be double digits. You want the third guy maybe to be 8, and that would be really, really terrific. If between the three guys, you can get like 35 to 40. That would be really cool. I mean, that's when your defensive front seven, your front four is dominant. That's not always the case. So, to me, you're talking about a guy who comes out of UCLA primarily as a run-stopping defensive end who projects to being a pass-rushing defensive end. They knew there was going to be some work to do there. They knew that they were going to have to teach him some pass-rushing techniques. They were going to have to teach him some escape moves away from these offensive tackles, some of these double and triple moves that you have to use when you get to the quarterback. So they knew this was going to be a teaching process for him as they converted him from UCLA's run-stopping end into an NFL pass-rushing end. So you're going to have to be a little patient with him. I still think he's a very good prospect, but I think you got to be a tad patient.
Also, you know, a big talk, and I've had the opportunity to talk about it with Lance, and also was a pretty big topic on some of the radio shows that I host, and that is, you know, did the Giants overspend for Snacks, considering that he's more of a run-stopper, not a quarterback killer? And a lot of the analysts that I'm talking to says no, because the Giants had such a difficult time stopping the run last year, but also keep in mind, and you know, I know this from experience, but you know, one thing that quarterbacks hate the most, yes, you want those edge rushers that are going to come around and, you know, cause the fumble and sack the quarterback, but nothing is more annoying than when you don't have a solid pocket. And you have Snacks kind of bull rushing, coming up the middle and disrupting that comfortable pocket that a quarterback likes to throw in and step into, and it totally just screws up the technique and your skill set in regard to really completing a solid pass. So you know, I like the aggressiveness in going out and getting him, and I don't think the Giants have overspent.
Well, I think there are some people, and we're going to talk to our guests in just a second here about the defensive line prospects, who think the Giants still need to go after defensive line in the draft. They still don't have enough. I mean, if Snacks is one of the tackles and Hankins is the other, well, now, who's in that mix? You got to have four. So Bromley, I guess, is going to be one of them, but he's got a lot to prove yet. You know, could it be Hughes? Could it be Nix? They got a few guys here, but not necessarily proven guys. So maybe the Giants draft somebody else.
Again, we've got some guests that are going to be joining us, but we will take your calls, and I will be monitoring Twitter throughout the show, #GiantsChat. Let's bring in our guest, Stephen Jones. He writes for the Louisville Courier Journal, and, of course, covers the Louisville football team and defensive tackle. Sheldon Rankins is the guy that Stephen, we wanted you to come on and kind of give us, shed some light in regard to who he is as a player, how good you think he is, his game is going to transcend going from college to the pros.
Yeah, I think he's an excellent college player and should translate well to the pros, considering that he is a really versatile defensive tackle. I mean, he played a 3-4 defensive end at Louisville and pretty much stayed in every down, whether that was playing more on the outside as sort of a run stopper on first down, but then also is very capable as a pass rusher and has been I think he led the team in sacks in as a junior 2 years ago. I think he had maybe 8 or 8.5 or 9, and then he was in the top 2 or 3 on the team this year. And he also, you know, he's capable of moving a little bit inside and playing like a nose or an inside tackle position on more of a passing down. So, yeah, I would say he is one of the few guys that is a 300-pound, you know, defensive tackle that pretty much plays, that almost never comes out of the game.
Well, to this point, it seems to me that he's almost the unanimous pick as the number one defensive tackle prospect coming out in the draft from what you've been able to ascertain, who are some of the teams who are thinking about him? Where do you think he projects to go? A lot of folks obviously think he's top 10. Some people think he's top 5. Could he go that high?
Yeah, I think it kind of, I mean, obviously it fits on, you know, I'm no real expert on the various needs of all these teams. You know, Sheldon has tended to not at his pro day back, I think, March 9th, and at the combine, he didn't really ever, he wouldn't mention specific teams that he was talking to or hearing from. You know, I think, you know, Mel Kiper and Todd McShay at ESPN have projected him number 12 to the Saints. I think the Saints definitely seem to have a need at a defensive tackle or somewhere along the defensive line. So that could be, you know, a good fit for him. It's whether or not, you know, you prefer him over a guy like Shaq Lawson at Clemson, if you want more of a, you know, pass rusher like that. You know, I think that I've seen some guys project the Giants to take a defensive end like that. So, you know, I think that he definitely seems to be, according to, like, all mock drafts, kind of a first half of the first round kind of guy. And then maybe, you know, I'm not sure that given that teams have specific needs for quarterbacks and on maybe not on the defensive line, I'm not sure that he's going to get quite up into the top five. But he definitely seems to be a top 15 kind of guy. And probably could be a you know, an option there for the Giants.
Now, how do you feel about whether or not he plays nose tackle in a 3-4 in the pros, or if he's a defensive tackle in a 4-3 in the pros, based on how that's going to translate from what he did at Louisville?
Well, I mean, I think he would be more of an end as a 3-4 as opposed to a 3-4 nose. You know, I think that he plays, but he could play a 4-3. You know, inside tackle. He's not as big as some tackles. I mean, he's probably about 6'1", maybe 6'2", and about 299 or 300 pounds. So he's not one of these monster guys that you can see, you know, right, playing inside in the NFL. So, you know, I think his you know, his strength is that he is versatile enough to be somewhat of a big 4-3 tackle, and you know, that he could be a 3-4 end, which is what he played primarily at Louisville. I think, you know, some of the guys, you know, Aaron Donald is the guy that he's, you know, Aaron Donald's obviously one of the premier players in the league, but that's the you know, sort of guy that he most gets compared to as far as you know, his total upside.
Stephen Jones joining us here from the Louisville Courier-Journal, talking about Sheldon Rankins. Kind of share with us some characteristics about Sheldon that, you know, beyond just the X's and O's, beyond on the football field, you know, like in regard to who he is as a person, his work ethic, what stood out in regard to covering him. Kind of give us some insight on him.
Yeah, I mean, he was always a guy that Louisville would bring out to talk to the media. He's, you know, very thoughtful and an intelligent guy who seems to know a whole lot about football. I mean, I think he was, you know, I remember talking to him at ACC Media Days last year, and he was, you know, could list off, you know, five or six of, you know, he could talk about all these various other players in the country and guys who had been drafted. And the guy's name is slipping my mind, a high draft pick for the out of Washington defensive tackle last year. He said that he wanted to be in that category with him. You know, he, just like extremely intelligent guy, never had any inkling at all of any sort of off the field issue. And I think that whoever drafts him, that'll be absolutely no issue. You know, it'll be totally about his potential as a football player. You know, Bobby Petrino was rehired by Louisville in 2014, which was, he was coming in, it would have been Rankin's junior year. So he was originally a Charlie Strong recruit. But, you know, Todd Grantham, who's a longtime NFL assistant and Georgia defense coordinator, and Bobby Petrino, both of those guys have really, really took to Rankin immediately, made him a captain on the team and, you know, considered him a big leader on the team. And they always, you know, I mean, Petrino is, as everyone knows, an offensive-minded coach. You know, he essentially is the offensive coordinator and runs the plays, calls the plays for the offense. He said he would frequently, you know, get Rankin's feedback, you know, if like, how did you stop us on that play? How did you get in the backfield? What protection did you see? What were you seeing pre-snap? And he would ask for Rankin's feedback as to, you know, kind of in practice, if there's some ways to kind of shore up some weaknesses on offense. So, you know, I think that he's well known as a very technically savvy guy, is a guy who really understands football, is a guy who understands the offensive line and what they're trying to do, and is able to pick stuff up pre-snap and basically play any position almost on the defensive line. So that's, and he's fast and he's strong. He's not huge, but he's all those other things, and he's been very productive. So, he checks a whole lot of boxes, I think.
How does he do in terms of checking the box for motor and consistency and also for playing dinged up? I mean, I'm not sure what his health history is. You'd probably know better than I was, you know, since you're around him all the time and you see if he's playing hurt or not.
Yeah, he had he had one minor concern going into the combine that he pulled out of the Senior Bowl. He was, I guess, you know, I was not at the Senior Bowl, but he was apparently, you know, if not the most dominant defensive lineman, he was one of the most defensive linemen there in the practice leading up to the game. Then he pulled out of the game, I think maybe the day before or a day or two before, because he had some knee soreness. And, you know, that goes back to an injury that he had in October against Wake Forest, where I think he got hit on the knee. It was maybe a helmet to the knee or something like that. So it was a bruise that swelled up. He left that game against Wake Forest. That was the only time that I can remember this entire year he missed any time. And he was back at practice the next day, and he played the next game and has never had any injury issues that I'm aware of. You know, he went and got that knee. It was originally sort of reported that it was a knee sprain. Rankins was very quick to correct everyone that there was no sprain. It was just a knee soreness that he has. He has no ligament or any kind of damage like that. And that it was just a freak thing that, you know, I think at the Senior Bowl down in Mobile, it was a hot or a humid or rainy day or something like that. And he was just feeling like he had some pain there and was worried that he may affect his play in the game, and he didn't see any reason to risk it. So he pulled out. He passed all the exams, according to him. Every team was satisfied with his medical at the combine, and that apparently is no issue at all. So, you know, that the next game after that Wake Forest game, which, you know, apparently was the only injury that we're ever really aware of that he ever had since he was in college, and was obviously not that significant of one. He came back, he recovered a fumble and returned it 45 yards. I mean, not a touchdown. Hurdle the guy as he did it. So not a move that you would see any 300-pound guy do very well, especially one who's, you know, apparently hurt. So, I mean, I would say that as far as I know, he plays either with injuries very well or has had no injuries that he has to play with.
Sounds like this guy really does check all the boxes, Anita. He's a good player.
I'm good. Any further questions for Steven?
Yeah, actually, the only other thing I wanted to ask you was, is there anybody else on Louisville? Because in doing my preliminary round of draft study, I didn't see any other prospects that I thought were on the Cardinals that would be, you know, be picked, certainly not in the first couple of days. Is there a dark horse there that maybe even as an undrafted free agent that you think might have a shot at making the NFL?
Yeah, it's a little bit surprising because, I mean, they had 10 draft picks last year. They were the second only to Florida State. So, I mean, Louisville has been a place, you know, that Charlie Strong recruited very well. Bobby Petrino is, you know, obviously a very good coach who's recruited well, too. So they've had a lot of talent on the team, and they're going to have a lot of guys in 2017. But the only other guy after Rankins that most comes to mind is James Burgess, who is an all-ACC linebacker, three-year starter. Really, really fast guy. He was shocked, and frankly, I kind of was too, that he was not invited to the combine. So I guess if you go based purely on the combine, he is a fringe guy to get drafted. But I think he ran a 4.53 at his pro day, according to him. Very fast, a little bit smaller, undersized inside linebacker, but can cover well, and you know, was like a 90 plus tackle guy for the last. Last year or two. So he is a guy that I would not be surprised to see him picked on one of the last days. If not, he'll definitely be in a camp somewhere, and he'll definitely sign somewhere. Pio Vituve was another guy who played almost the same position as Rankins. Didn't have a whole lot of productivity as far as big stats and tackle numbers, but has a really good motor and a really good frame. He's, you know, used to play at University of Washington, transferred, and was a four-star recruit. So he's kind of got the pedigree as a top guy, and you know, he was a fairly productive player at Louisville, so he'll definitely get into a camp and could be a draft pick too late in the draft.
Good stuff, Steven. Appreciate it very much.
No problem. Thanks, guys.
Thank you. I liked. I mean, granted, yes, you know, you got to know all the X's and O's, and him. You know, Steven thinks he's going to go in the top 15, and he plays more of a 4-3 inside tackle. But I like the stuff where, and you know this, whenever a player's needed, he was the one that Louisville brought him out. That's great. Made him a captain. No off the field issues. Like, you know, those they're important.
Obviously a real football mind from what he was telling us. And I agree with you. I mean, especially, nowadays when you pick a guy, especially that high, you got to have him. It's like just add water and he better be able to get on the field and do something for you. And it sounds like from getting this firsthand account about what Rankins is, all of these folks who think he's a top 15, top 10, maybe even a little higher, sounds like they're all on the right track because there's nothing wrong with this kid. I mean, he's got everything you could possibly want in a can't-miss prospect. Now it's all up to how do you coach him up, how does he fit into your system, and just make it happen.
Again, Big Blue Kickoff Live, Anita Marks, Paul Dottino, and you on this Tuesday afternoon. We have another guest who's going to be joining us shortly, Alan Jerkins. He's with the Tulsa's KJRH TV network, and to talk about another defensive player, defensive end that just might pique the Giants' interest. So stay tuned for that. In the meantime, we're going to continue to take your calls, 201-939-4513. And also, there are some tweets out here that I do want to share. AJ asks, who does Sheldon Rankins remind you of? He said Aaron...
Donald.
Aaron Donald. He said that's the player that he most, that a lot of people kind of... Right?
Rams hit a real winner with him when they drafted him.
Nothing wrong with that.
No.
Nothing wrong with being
compared
to...
Not at all.
I like Sheldon Rankins a lot. He is an option at 10 for the Giants, but they don't draft him. I guess he's just making a point.
Well, he's probably thinking, as a lot of people do, there are more primary needs that the Giants have than defensive tackle. Although I think, as we said a few minutes before Stephen Jones came on the air, the Giants certainly could use a little depth there because they got a lot of unproven guys behind their two starters.
This is from New York. I can for life. I don't know. How long did it take OC to become the premier rusher he was?
OC took a couple of years. He was a little banged up at the beginning, too, and they worked him in slowly. And yeah, he's, you know, I guess that's probably a question in relation to what you were asking me about Owa. And can Owa, you know, make an immediate impact, or is he going to take a couple of years like OC did? You know, it's not every day a guy comes into the league like Lawrence Taylor did as a rookie and is, you know, rookie of the year because he just lights the world on fire. It just doesn't happen all the time. I got a hunch that Miles Jack is going to do that, okay? That's why he's a top five pick.
That's my guy.
Okay.
That's who I want the Giants to go after.
Well, yeah, like he's got any chance to get down to 10.
No.
It'd be great, right?
If the Giants traded up for him.
It'd be pretty hard to do, but I think he's a top five. You know, I'd be very surprised.
Yeah, I don't think he'll last past five. DL is a good draft class. The Giants don't need to draft one that high. He won't start right away. And that's the debate to have, right? You take the best player on the board, he might not start right away, but he still might be the best player on the board. But yet at the same time, a lot of people look at that first round of the draft. You go out, your first round draft pick, that's a guy you want to see on the field and you want to see him contribute right away.
Well, remember something now. Snacks Harrison, last year, we heard from the Pro Football Focus people a couple of weeks ago, played 53% of the Jets snaps last season, which was his career high. So he's only going to be on the field for half of the snaps, you figure. So somebody else is going to have to rotate in there. So that third defensive tackle is kind of like a half starter. So don't just think that, you know, he's sitting the bench and he's learning things from the pines. That's not true. Whoever the Giants' number three defensive tackle is, he is going to see significant time unless they're able to get enough defensive ends they're happy with and start sliding some guys inside, which is always possible, but we don't know that. I would also say one other thing to you, Anita. Remember, Jonathan Hankins has another year on his contract at the end of this season, and then he's up for renewal.
Right.
And we know how the Giants in years past, guys like Cornelius Griffin, Linval Joseph,
right,
Barry Colfield,
right,
as their time came due, they wound up getting overwhelmed on the free agency market with big-time offers for money, and they went and grabbed the Brinks truck, and the Giants were left trying to develop another young guy. All I'm saying is I could see some logic in it. I'm not telling you that I would pick Rankins, but I think he's certainly a viable prospect.
This is from E, the chosen one. He wants to know, what are your picks right now for rounds 1 and 2 for the Giants?
I'm not going there yet. It's much too early. But we have talked about some of the names that I would favor in the vicinity of 10. Guys like Stanley, guys like Hargraves, Lawson. These are all guys I certainly would be considering at that pick. But I'm not narrowing it down quite yet. We'll get there in another month. We've got some time, Anita, don't we?
We do.
Thank
you. We've got a full month to really break that down. 201-939-4513. Let's go to line one. Rick's calling in from Florida. He wants to talk about the draft. Rick, welcome in.
Hello?
Rick, you there?
Yes, I'm sorry. Can you hear me?
Sure can, Rick.
Good afternoon. My name is Vic, Anita. Vic.
It's Vic.
Good
okay.
afternoon, Anita and Paul.
Hi.
I have a couple of things I want to real fast. I want to talk about.
Sure.
The topic today is the defensive line. Am I correct?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay. Why in the world we didn't resign or attempt to resign Robert Ayers, who happened to be our best pass rusher last year? Can anybody answer that?
Well, the Giants wound up devoting most of their defensive end resources into re-signing JPP and obviously going after Olivier Vernon. Vernon is a younger, potentially more explosive and dynamic player who they believe has a much more of an upside than Ayers did. Remember, Ayers had a career year for the Giants last season, and I think you could make an argument that that's the best he's going to be. I think the Giants, and you've got a lot of people down in Florida who can tell you this, Anita, the Giants think that Vernon, the best is yet to come with him. You haven't seen the best of Olivier Vernon yet.
No, I don't think you have. I think that there's some tremendous upside. You know, another thing is you look at Ayers' stats, and keep in mind, like, out of his 9.5 sacks, 6 of them came when JPP returned. So, you know, you got to keep that in mind. And, you know, listen. There was a market for him, and he decided to go to Tampa. So
okay. The other thing I have, and I'm going to make it fast. We've been talking about the possibility of getting another wide receiver that could complement Odell Beckham. Now you got two guys out there, Marcus Colston and Anquan Boldin. Why can't we at least sign one of these guys for 1 or 2 years and see what happens?
Thank you for your phone call. Really appreciate it. I will answer that for you. When the Eagles signed Reuben Randall, I text a friend of mine who works with the organization. And I said, Reuben Randall, interesting, you know, obviously with, and I said, and he said, yeah, he said, who else is out there? And I said, Anquan Boldin. And he said, too slow.
A lot of people think that.
So just FYI. And that's, you know, that's somebody in the know, you know, that's somebody who knows football a lot better than I do. Too slow. But I think that there are some intangibles that Anquan Boldin can bring to a team, especially a team like the Giants. One thing we talk about a lot here is lack of that leadership guy in the locker room. You know, is Odell Beckham Jr. ready to take that on? I don't think so. Still some maturing to do. Mm-hmm. Prince being gone, you know, Jenkins isn't the most savvy media guy. What are we going to do in regard to
I don't know.
When we have to talk to the DB, I'm praying to God that Bennett Jackson is a starter. Bennett Jackson's actually a good person to talk to.
He is. Really good person to talk
to. But like when it comes to like the media having to talk to the DBs, it's gonna be like, you know, we all always went for Prince. Now it's gonna be like,
yeah.
Who do we go to talk to?
DRC's a little bashful, isn't he?
Well, not only that, he makes a run for Popeye's chicken while media are in the locker room every day. That's how he avoids the media. He loves Popeye's chicken.
The man's got to eat.
And so I've never had it, by the way. I need to try it. But I'm being serious. During media availability, DRC gets in his car and he goes to Popeye's Chicken.
Yeah. Hey.
It's what he does. So you know, in a roundabout way, and Victor Cruz can be that guy this season, but Victor Cruz has to make sure that he's playing, he's starting, he's contributing, and there's no more leg, knee, calf issues. So where I'm going with this, I know I'm very long-winded, I apologize, is the veteran leadership that I think Anquan Boldum can bring into this locker room, I think would be valuable.
Well, I will say this. Bolden's production has still been very good over the last couple of years, despite the fact that he is an advanced age and that he was never very fast to begin with. So the stats kind of speak for themselves in that regard. And he also hasn't had a very good quarterback the last couple of years throwing him the ball. I'm not a Kaepernick guy, as you know. Now, I will add this about Marcus Colston, though. He clearly is on the downside. Last time I was in New Orleans when the Giants went down there, and I was talking to some of the folks there because Colston's a Hofstra guy. So a lot of people here in New York, you know, kept an eye on him through the years, and we really liked him. They basically said, no, that's it. He's at the end of the rope. And they were even surprised this last year that he was even able to hang on to a roster spot. So I think the gas is kind of used up out of his tank.
Let's bring on our next guest. It is Defensive Line Day here on Big Blue Kickoff Live. So Alan Jerkins joins us. You can find him on KJRH-TV in Tulsa. Covers Oklahoma State, of course, their football team. And we're bringing him on to talk about defensive end Emmanuel Ogba.
Ogba. Nice.
Did I get that right, Alan?
You hit it right on the nose.
Look
at
me. It's a
yes.
Lucky. It's
way
lucky.
To go, Anita. I'm
lucky,
proud of you.
It's Lucky Tuesday. It's Lucky Tuesday for me to be quite big. So, Alan, kind of for all our Giants fans out there that are watching us on Giants.com, kind of give them some insight on who he is as a player on and off the football field.
Off the field, he's a Boy Scout. And you don't see that too often in college football. But I can tell you, made all the meetings, did everything the coaches told him to, very coachable. The defensive line coaches raved about him in the way he learned spin moves and the way to get to the quarterback better. So from that standpoint, I imagine he did pretty well on his Wunderlich test. As far as, the one knock against him from his sophomore to junior year, in his sophomore year, he tried to maybe gain too much weight, and he got the reputation of maybe taking some plays off. But I think some people are attributing that, too, by trying to maybe gain too much weight. And I don't know, you guys obviously know about the Big 12. They don't play a whole lot of defense in this conference over the last couple of years.
Yeah.
And he was on the field for 80 plays a game, which is ridiculous.
Sure.
So, I think maybe he had an excuse to be a little bit tired. But his junior year, I think he alleviated that problem. He's fourth all-time in sack for Oklahoma State, and they had some pretty good sackers back then. You know, in 85 they had Gildon, the Leslie O'Neill. So he's in pretty good company when it comes to that stuff. So how did he grade out at the combine overall from your perspective? I know he ran a halfway decent 4.62, but his 20 reps weren't the greatest.
Alan, I'm just hearing that physically everything he's done since the combine is shooting him right up the charts. I've got him running a low 4.46, which is sick.
Okay.
For a 6'4", 273-pound guy, to have a fastest 40 of 4.46, that's nuts. I mean, that's nuts.
And I think he approved it a little at his pro day in Stillwater. So from that standpoint, yeah. Does the 20 reps bother those scouts any?
That's a good question. You know, he's going to be a speed rusher coming off the edge. He's got the quickness, and he's got the length also. They love his length. That's the one thing I've heard for sure. So I don't necessarily
I'm sorry, I didn't mean it.
No, that's all right. Go ahead.
I tell you what, if the Giants, you got to give the Giants credit. They know how to scout this position. They have done it years and years and years. They are so positive in developing these positions that I'd be willing to understand everything that they've said about this kid.
Now, let me ask you this. From what you've heard to this point, I've heard things that he was a second rounder and then shooting up the charts, now early second rounder, maybe even late first rounder, and now maybe even higher than that because he has been so impressive in his postseason workouts. So where are you hearing right now? Because it seems to me someone who's going to be looking for an edge pass rusher has got to like this guy.
Yeah, it's hard to judge because of the Big 12 lack of defense, but he's got the physical skills to where you have to overlook that. Now, I'm getting a lot of my information from my radio partner is Pat Jones, who was the former OSU head coach who coached Barry Sanders and Thurman Thomas and worked with Jimmy Johnson at the Miami Dolphins for years and ended his assistant coaching career at Oakland. And he likes this kid a lot, but does not think he's a top 10 pick. So I'm trying to figure out all this glutton of information from everybody. I think maybe a 10 pick overall, maybe a little bit of a chance on this guy. But 15 to 20. I mean, it's so close. But again, I rely on the Giants for being able to. You guys know better than anybody how they develop these type of players. How can you go wrong with their assessments?
Well, suffice it to say, if he's there in the second round at pick number 40, and he's staring them in the face at 40, it sounds like everything you're telling us, he'd be a really good pick at 40.
He'd be an absolute steal at 40.
Yeah.
In my opinion. I guess it depends on you guys know how do teams evaluate taking chances? Are you taking a chance if you take a pick over 15? Are you taking a chance if you go beyond 15? Those are the questions you have to ask.
Giants,
I would even take him late first round if the Giants somehow made trades and got it there. I would go there too.
The only thing I would say to you, Alan, is that the Giants right now are not in the business of taking any chances. They can't afford to. They got to get this stuff right now.
No kidding. And I love the spending spree they went on.
Yeah.
Personal license plate is Oklahoma NYGXLV1. Okay. That's my personal license plate.
So does everybody who's watching the show. Alan Jerkins is joining us. Works with KJRH-TV in Tulsa and, of course, knows the Oklahoma State football team better than any of us here. Alan, it's interesting. I hear you talk about how, unfortunately, playing in a conference where not a lot of defense, a lot of offense, a lot of points were put on the board. Do you think that's more helpful or hurtful? You talk about how many plays he was out on the football field, so now you got to say, oh, wow, his conditioning must be spot on. But you're right. I mean, so many points were put up. You think that helps him or hurts him in any way?
See, I guess it's how each individual scout would look at it. I would look at it as a glass half full because you're right. He had to take on a lot of skilled offensive players and get accustomed to that. And you're right. Sucking it up and having to play 80 plays a game is not an easy chore.
Right.
Not for a man that big.
I would look at it. I'm sorry?
Not for a man that big who's trying to get to the quarterback.
Yes. Yes. So I would look at that as a positive. But again, when you look at the stats compared to everybody else in the league, then you have to say, there isn't a whole lot of defensive talent in this league. If you look at the draft in the past, you don't see a whole lot of Big 12 players going early, defensive players going early in the draft. So that's the only thing that I would worry about a little bit. But as far as a person, he's studious. He loves the game. He was relatively new to the game because he really didn't get into it until, he moved to Houston from Nigeria when he was in the seventh grade. So he really didn't understand the game until, later in his high school career. So, how much does he have to learn yet? I think he's very coachable. I think there's so many more positives than negatives with this kid.
Fantastic. Alan, thank you so much. Any last questions?
I was going to ask you about Kevin Peterson, the cornerback, who I think is maybe the only other draftable guy who I could tell that's on the Oklahoma State roster. Do you see him as a sleeper potentially in the third round, not the third round, but the third day, which, you know, look, you're always looking to pick up guys on the back end of the draft as well.
He has had some really great moments, but his last year and a half has been hampered with injuries. The nagging injury types, that he'd have to play with. He shut down receiver White from West Virginia unbelievably 2 years ago. Mm. And then he started developing a few, an elbow here, a knee there, a shoulder there. So he never really was 100% the rest of the season. And last year he was not 100% at all. But he's a little small, but he's got the speed, and I think he's got – He's the kind of guy that can smell the football.
Can he play slot?
Yeah. I'm sorry?
Can he play slot?
Yes. So, I think he's got a shot very late, though. I mean,
Sure, third day.
I'm talking sixth, seventh round. Yeah, right, exactly.
Good stuff.
Fantastic. Alan, thank you so much. Thanks for spending time with us and giving us some insight. Appreciate it.
You bet. Thank you very much, and I hope I can do it again with you.
Oh, you got it.
Enjoyed it.
You got it, especially if the Giants draft him in the first or second round.
We just got two glowing reports on
Boy Scouts.
Right.
Hashtag Boy Scouts.
Two guys who apparently can not only play, but also check all the boxes off the field as well.
Right.
And as we know, Anita, the NFL is looking for guys like that right now. Football smarts, leaders, guys who know what to do, what the right thing is to do, what the wrong thing is to do. I tell you, there are some good defensive linemen in this draft.
We still have 20 minutes left in the show, so we are going to start taking your calls. So jump on board, 201-939-4513.
That's how we're going to play poker.
Poker? Poker? Who plays poker anymore?
Okay, never mind.
You're so funny. Wow.
I threw her off. I like to do that every once in a while.
Get me to a craps table. Now you're talking. want to remind folks, Big Blue Kickoff Live brought to you by DraftKings, the daily fantasy sports destination. DraftKings, you can play as often as you want with no season-long commitment. Go to DraftKings.com, enter the promo code CONTACT to play for free today. DraftKings Fantasy Sports, free to play. Which, by the way, I'm addicted to this side note here. I'm addicted to this new game. It's not really new, but when I was down in Florida, my brother and his wife introduced it to me. It's called Catan.
I've heard of it.
You're laughing. You've played it?
I've heard of it. I hear it's like a real nerdy game.
Oh, you heard it's a nerdy game? Wow. All right. Well, I guess it's Nerdy Tuesday for me.
Nice going.
Anyway, it's adult Monopoly meets craps.
Okay.
On crack. That's kind of it's so if you want to call that nerdy, that's fine. Monopoly and craps.
Okay. Wow. Someday you will need to show this to me.
Anyway, better than poker.
I suppose. Hey, I got one thing I got to throw out here to the folks because Nilay Shah, our internet director, wanted me to make sure you guys know on Giants.com they are putting up what's called Make the Case. It is a kind of a draft debate that you can get a look at. And the one that's up there now, every once in a while they're putting one up there about guys who you think the Giants may draft, and you're going to be able to listen in and read about who some of the debates are about. For example, the one that's up there now is Vernon Hargraves, the Florida corner, against Laquon Treadwell,
right,
the wide receiver. And make the case. So if you click on it, it's on the right side of the screen. Nilay was saying that, they're really excited about this because a lot of folks have a lot of different opinions on this. When you pick number 10 and you know you got a hit, there's going to be strong views on should it be defense? Should it be offense? Should it be a skill position guy? Should it be a guy in the trenches? I bet
who came up with this idea? This is smart. This is
I don't know if it was Dan Solomon, who was our staff writer, him and Michael Eisen, of course. I don't know if it was his idea or if it was Nilay's or Michael's, but here's the thing. I really believe this. And, in some cases, Anita, I really think that you can look at the pick and say, you'll get a majority or at least 50% consensus like they do in the November election and say there's at least one guy who gets the majority of the votes for a pick at that number. I don't think you can do that this year with the Giants. I think if you were to poll 50 people, you would not have an overwhelming winner as to who they should pick at number 10. I think you might get 6 or 7 different answers, and they would all be like around the same numbers.
We should use these for the show, by the way. We should pick like the best, the Giants fans who make the best case. We should use them and have them call in.
That's good. That's a good idea.
We should, you know, okay. We should expand on this really fun, cool idea.
So anyway, the guys up there right now are Treadwell, the wide receiver from Mississippi, and Hargraves, the cornerback from Florida. I would tell you between those two, it would be Hargraves for me.
Right. I know you're a fan. You've got a little man crush going on.
Big fan.
I know.
He could play.
I know. Really quick, before we do head back out to our phone lines, 201-939-4513. Twitter, Karen says, Settlers of Catan is a little overrated. Risk all the way. You lose more friends with risk than Monopoly.
Okay.
And then Karen also said that she played poker with you, Paul.
Well, that's awfully nice.
Yeah, I thought so. AJ Marshall wants to know if Emmanuel is there in the second round, will you be happy if the Giants draft him? I think that's a big fat yes.
I mean, who wouldn't be happy with an edge pass rusher who checks all the boxes at the 40th pick in the draft? Would there be any team that would not be happy with that?
Bill says that Reggie Nelson is still out there.
Yes, he is.
I know. You text me about him every day. Could provide vet leadership, good partner for Collins. Your thoughts? This dude is really high on him.
Here's the thing about Reggie Nelson. It is my belief, and I don't know, but it is my belief that, he is a Pro Bowl player from this past season who likely believes that even though he's 32 years old and has some tread wear on his tire, that he believes he's in that first grouping of money. Now, you know all the first groupings of free agents that just went up to the Brinks Bank and just unloaded bullions and bullions of gold. We're now into that second stage of free agency where teams are looking to do, well, let's just say reasonable price tags on some of these guys. My hunch is Reggie Nelson's looking at the NFL and says there's probably a handful of teams that could still use my services. I'm a starter. I'm a Pro Bowl player. And I think he's probably looking for some bigger bucks than some of these other needy teams are wanting to shelve out. That's my suspicion. I don't know that. You and I both know he's going to be signed by somebody. Mm-hmm. I just don't know when and how much it's going to be. I could see the fit for the Giants, though. There's no question. I could see the fit.
And speaking to a few of the coaches who he's played for, they've given me rave reviews on him. So coaches out there, two thumbs up. I think it's just a matter of time. Hopefully he does land with the Giants. This is from Mr. Still Bleeding Blue.
Okay.
I like that. Do you think Reese would move up in the second round and get Jalen Smith? And would that be worth the risk?
Well, I'm going to ask you what you've heard, but first I will just say this. The people who I've talked to said that Jalen Smith would not be worth any more than a fourth-round pick because of his devastating leg injuries, and that you really can't see him being worth the gamble earlier than that. Now, you were in Indianapolis. Mm-hmm. You talked to more people than I did. I think we would both agree he's a top three, top five for sure if he's healthy, an outstanding prospect. But given his leg, Anita, I don't know. If someone's going to take him in the first three rounds, I would say that's probably a reach. Wouldn't you agree?
It is, because there's no guarantee that he'll ever be healthy again.
You don't know?
Apparently he's having a problem with his foot. Like he can't push off his foot, and they're not sure if that nerve is going to regenerate again. I think it's too much of a risk. Got a good laugh out of Anita trying to pronounce my handle. It sounds like New York Reek in for life. Say it with me, Anita. I just said it.
Okay.
I'm sorry. And of course, I got called out as a geek for liking Catan. All right, let's head out to. I'm having a rough day here, Paul.
You're doing fine.
201.
Here we go.
201-939.
Next.
4513. Let's go to Andrew, line 3, calling in. Andrew, welcome.
Welcome. Paul and I, we both like the old school offensive linemen.
Yeah.
Smash mouth. We go back to the Parcells days.
The Suburbanites.
Definitely. And the guy from Notre Dame, I guess everyone's saying he's not going to be there round two, but possibly a late first round, trading up a 1-2 punch, picking the running back from LSU, I think he's from, and then moving up and taking the offensive lineman. So that would be a power punch on offense. Not that that'll happen. Maybe it's just a fantasy.
Well,
what do you guys think of that?
Here's the problem, okay? I think Stanley is a legitimate consideration for the Giants at number 10, okay? And if that's the case, and I'm right about that, there's no way in the world you're going to be able to get him late in the first round
right.
by trading up that number two pick. It's just not going to happen. He is going to be gone. And I'll tell you what, there are a lot of people who think he's going to be a good left. He's one of those guys like Flowers where people are trying to figure out left tackle, right tackle. I'd plug him right in at right tackle and just play him and Flowers on the bookends and be very happy with that. There are other people who are moving him up on the board who have him at left tackle. And that's why his value is going up.
It's almost like secretly I hope some of the best pass rushers and the wide receiver and the running back are gone and the linebacker, so they'll take him. Because I know the sexy pick and the exciting pick is the pass rusher or the big-time wide receiver. But if they really get a solidified top offensive line, that's huge. And
sure.
I'll listen off air. I just want to ask you guys, who do you think the starting linebackers are? And this guy from Washington looks very talented, but he had injuries. I remember Shakes loved that linebacker, and they brought him into training camp. They brought another guy from Dallas. They both didn't make it through. So it seems like I'm worried about the linebackers, often injured, and a constant rotation, never the same three. And also Walter Thurman, any word on him? And I'll listen off there. Thanks, guys.
Okay, well, let's go in reverse. Walter Thurman, still a free agent, apparently talked a couple of weeks ago about possibly retiring, but he's certainly a veteran defensive back who has played corner, slot, and safety. He'd be a guy you'd want to consider for what the Giants do need. I would think so. Again, don't know where his mindset is right now coming out of Philadelphia. And as far as offensive line, look, Anita, how many years have we been talking about this? You can never go wrong fortifying your offensive line. I mean, for real. You're never going to get an argument from me on that. So, by all means, if the Giants take a stud tackle at number 10, and I'll tell you, somebody who I was looking at, and it's not going to happen now, Conklin from Michigan State. I had him early second round, early in this process as being a guy who the Giants might be able to pick up there. It's not going to happen now. He is going right up the charts, and he's now definitely like mid-first round. And that's too bad because, again, I had my eyes on him at number two. The Giants' offensive line is still not done. It's a work in progress, folks. Why don't people understand that?
Well, I think the concern here is, you still have some big question marks about Bobby Hart. I think the expectation that is eventually he will be a solid right guard, but is it now? Is his time now? And number two is Marshall Newhouse right now. Marshall Newhouse is your starting right tackle. Do you feel that he is a right tackle? I mean, some of the stuff that you heard Ben McAdoo talk about him while he was down in Boca for the owners meetings sounds like McAdoo thinks that Brandon Marshall is a solid right tackle, but some think that maybe that he should be the sixth man off the bench.
He was signed as a backup.
Yeah.
That's the intent when he was brought here.
But I think this coaching staff was pretty impressed with, the way that he performed last year.
If you can upgrade, you have to try to do it. And, I really would love to see somebody over there, but remains to be seen. Anyway.
Really quick, have you seen the French wide receiver who's –
Oh, yeah.
Have you spoken to him?
I have not spoken to him.
Have you tried to speak French?
No.
Okay.
I'm Italian. Grazie.
Okay.
De nada.
Okay.
Prego.
It's close,
No.
Countries are pretty close. Maybe a little bit.
No, I haven't.
Parlez-vous français?
No, and the video that I did do some research. I did look at video.
That doesn't surprise me.
Okay.
Paul. Right.
And here's the problem. When you look at the video of him and he's playing pro ball, American pro ball in France and, mm-hmm. and on Europe, what you see, it's the kind of video you saw when Ramses Barden was coming out of school, when he was a man against boys. You had a guy who was big in physical stature, who had some skills, who was playing against people who were totally overmatched and had no chance against him. And so, you know, Barden looked like Jerry Rice when you looked at his college cut-ups.
Right.
But this all comes into, hey, you've got to take into account the competition. And it's so hard sometimes when you're looking at film on a screen to really get a good gauge on that. And Barden was a great lesson for me to learn because I thought he was going to be a successful role player in this league, and it turned out that just was not the case at all. And his tremendous highlight reel from college was more a product of him going up against real inferior competition. Is that the case with I believe it's Doble. I'm not quite sure how he pronounces his name even. I have to ask him when I see him. I'm concerned about that. Buyer beware. I don't know. From looking at screen video, it looks like, oh, my God, it's like Ramses Barden all over again when I was pumped up about him.
Right.
Well, what's is that going to be fool me twice? So, I don't know.
So, I guess where I'm leading with this is, do you feel that, you know, in looking at the wide receiver situation with the Giants, do you feel that is something that they really need to focus in on?
They need somebody. I agree with
you. But do you think that they will walk away after all seven rounds with a drafted wide receiver this season?
Probably. Okay. Probably. And of course, again, free agency could play a part in this as well. They're going to add at least another wide receiver between now and July 1st. I guarantee you that.
Wow, you're guaranteed.
Guaranteed.
Paul Dottino with a guarantee. Here's some more Twitter questions for you. Hashtag Giants Chat. What's the latest with Josh Brown?
Josh Brown, as far as I understand it, plans on coming back here, and they were very happy with him. And I just think that he's on the back burner because they've had so many other priorities to deal with. I don't expect him to go anywhere else. Of course, things can always happen because he technically is an unrestricted free agent. But I don't think anybody's in a hurry to get that done because they've had so many other priorities to deal with.
Okay, and this is, again, from E, the Chosen One. Do you think that JPP is ready to be a captain and have a captain role in that locker room?
Wow. I would have said no earlier in his career, but after what he's been through in this last year, Anita, that's a really interesting question. I don't know. I don't know the answer to that because JPP, the JPP of today, his life was so dramatically affected by that accident last July.
Right.
He's a different guy.
Oh, he was. Yeah.
He's a different, you know this. He's a different guy.
Absolutely.
I mean, would he be a captain consideration now? I'm inclined to say probably not, but I would wait and see.
All right, let's get our last few calls in before we end the show. We go to line one. Mohammed is calling in from New Jersey. Mohammed, welcome.
Hey, guys. How's it going?
Hi.
I just wanted to first just give a cool tidbit that I saw online. Matt Miller, a pretty well-respected writer for Bleacher Report, had his rankings for each position of 2015. And as a bright spot for the Giants, Justin Pugh is actually number 5 at left guard, and Weston Richburg, he actually ranked at number 1. So I thought that was kind of neat to see. We all kind of know that they're good players, but one big bright spot of the Giants, as we see there, is, you know, the offensive line. And
it's young, and it's getting better, so that's good. I agree with you.
Yeah. And the one player I want to highlight, I think you started doing your draft breakdown, Paul, but one guy who I think is going to end up being your guy is Shaq Lawson. Put on that Notre Dame highlight if you get a chance. Wow. He really wows you. He plays so mature. It's like so much more mature than a college player. He stays home.
Oh, we just lost him.
Unfortunately. I apologize. Let's go to line 2, Tony in Florida.
He was right, by the way. Lawson would be a guy in my cluster.
Yeah, I'm sure.
Yeah.
Tony, you there?
Hello, guys.
Hi.
Hello there. First time caller.
Oh, welcome.
Long time Giants fan.
Cool.
Great.
54 years Giants fan.
Nice.
I just want to make a statement about the draft. We got the cake by getting Vernon, Harrison, and Jenkins. Now we need to get the icing by moving up and getting Miles Jack. I think that would solidify our defense. We spent all that money to get those three guys. Now we got to take another jump ahead and got Miles Jack, and see, that's all I want to say.
That puts a smile on my. I'm with you.
See?
I am totally. We are on the same page.
I don't see no reason why I can't do it.
Well, all right.
Thanks, guys.
No problem. Thank you so much. Paul's been covering the team since, I don't know.
Whenever. Look, I'm with
before
you.
Before the dinosaurs
were
extinct. When was the last time the Giants traded up for a player?
Well, they've done things like they traded up for Will Allen and Jeremy Shockey.
Well, I mean, they've done things like that before. I know,
but in
the first round, I know they traded up for Landon Collins.
I get that. They were first round guys.
But I mean, big time trade up.
They traded up. Well, they did the trade with San Diego to get Eli. I mean, that was after the picks were done, but in effect, they went
Eli,
up to the number
Jeremy
one.
Jeremy Shockey. I mean, everything. You know, it's everything been done. But everything I'm hearing about Miles Jack is like he's that type of impact player.
That's what I want you to do. I want you to take a look at this with me.
Okay.
The draft value chart. Okay. Now, how high do you think the Giants have to get? All right. Do you think it's got to be top three, top five? How high do they have to get Miles Jack? And I love the guy, by the way.
To be secure, to get him, to be safe. I think they have to go to three.
So that means they'd have to trade with San Diego. Okay?
Okay.
San Diego's going to require a minimum of 900 points to swap places with the Giants.
Because the Giants are sitting right now at 1,300.
1,300
and
points.
And they're sitting at 2,200.
Okay. Now, to do that.
900 points.
900 points.
Right.
Even if the Giants gave them a second-round pick, you see that? That's only 500 points.
Right.
So you're going to have to give up a second-round pick plus. They might want next year's number two also.
But if Miles Jack, okay, let's say, okay, all right, this is fun.
I'm just trying to give you a little perspective here.
So let's have some fun with this.
Go ahead.
Let's have some fun with this. So, but wait a minute. Okay, so the Giants would switch with San Diego, right?
Okay.
So then what's that?
Well, what would happen is you would go up to three.
Right.
San Diego becomes the 10, and they get the 40. And then, again, I'm suggesting you probably have to give them at least a two next year.
Okay. So giving this year's two and next year's two, if Miles Jack.
They might even want more than that, but okay, go ahead.
We're having fun here with your little draft, whatever.
Wow.
What is this called? I'm sorry.
It's called the draft value chart.
Yeah, with your draft value chart. But if Miles Jack turns out to be the next Ray Lewis, and maybe even beyond Ray Lewis in regard to his athleticism, and I mean, this is a guy that's like, he's just a playmaker. He could, I mean, I hear him, he could play strong safety. He could play linebacker.
He's big time.
He's going to be one of those linebackers that you're going to want if you're going up against Gronk and the Black Unicorn.
He's big time.
Yeah.
Look.
You don't think that's worth it. I mean, this is a Pro Bowl linebacker. This is the type of linebacker that at the end of his career, he's walking around in one of those mustard yellow jackets.
Here's my problem. Because you're going to do that, you're not going to pick again until 71, and this team has more holes to fill, and I still think you can get a Pro Bowl caliber player at 10. He may not be Miles Jack, may not be a Hall of Famer, but you'll get a Pro Bowl guy at 10, and you can probably even maybe get a Pro Bowl guy at 40 even.
But you don't think a Hall of Famer is worth this year's and next year's too?
Not based on where this team stands right now. I can't give up too much quantity.
But again, you can't look at it that way, Paul.
It's not
about where this team stands right now. You not only draft for this year, but you draft for the future too.
I hear you. Lawson, Hargraves, Stanley. These are guys who are going to be around for a decade.
And they're going to be really good. It's not like this linebacking core is like jumping off the charts.
Now that's where she beats me because I can't beat you on that argument at all.
Anyway,
interesting thought though.
It is. It's been a fun show. I just want to remind you that Big Blue Kickoff Lab brought to you by DraftKings. Now, if you've never played on DraftKings, it's changing the way we all play fantasy football. And there are other games that you can play on there. Golf, I've been participating in golf. It's fun. Just pick your contest, pick your players, and if you win, pick your cash. It's as simple as that. Go to DraftKings.com, enter the promo code CONTACT to claim your free entry today. DraftKings Fantasy Sports, of course, free to play. Paul, fun as always.
Yes.
Thank you so much for tuning in. Tomorrow, are you in tomorrow?
I'm not in tomorrow.
Okay, so that means it's going to be, by just deduction, it's going to be John and Lance tomorrow here on Big Blue Kickoff Live. Hopefully you'll tune in. Have a great afternoon, everybody.